Shalom Aleichem. Today, Be'ez Hashem will start the second chapter in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol Dan V'Danino So. The Kohen Gadol, he can be a Dayan in the Sanhedrin. And he also, if there's a case brought against him, he can also be judged by the Sanhedrin. Then the Mishnah, the Mishnah says a few lines down, a few lines later, Hamelech lo dan, the lo dan in oso, lo meid, the lo meid in oso. So the a king, he cannot sit in the Sanhedrin, and he cannot be judged either by the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara explained. Now the Gemara on Yud Chesam Beis talks about the Mishnah, the din of Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says Meyedu Meiden Oso, so he can be a witness in the Sanhedrin, and he can be in the Sanhedrin, and one can give testimony concerning the Kohen Gadol. That is in contrast with the king, that he neither can he be a aid, he can't be a witness in the Beis Din, and he also cannot be cannot be given concerning the king, the Melech. So the Gemara asks on the first part that a Kohen Gadol, he can give testimony in the Sanhedrin. The Gemara asks the Bahatani Behisalamta Pa'omim Sha'atim Misalem and Pa'omim Sha'atim Misalem, that we know by returning a lost article, that actually the Torah says that you should not see a lost article and ignore it. You have to return it. But from the fact that it is said in a positive way, Yosalamta, that you ignore it. So we see that sometimes, in fact, there are some people who are actually allowed to ignore seeing this lost article, and the Gemara says that one of the reasons is that this is a zokin ve'en elfi kvodo. This is an elderly person. Some say it's dafka if it's a Talmud Chacham, a very honourable person. So he may sometimes be exempt from doing something which is not according to his honour, to have to return the Hashavas Aveda. So that's the Gemara's question. How do we say that the Kohen Gadol is such a, he's the person who comes into the holiest place in the world, also in the holiest day of the year, he's the summit of Kedusha in the Jewish people, he's such an honorable person, how could that be that he is expected to come and compromise his honor, his respect, to come into the Beis Din like an ordinary citizen and give testimony in the Beis Din. This is not according to the honor of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Yosef Meid LeMelech. We say the only time that he is expected to give testimony in the Sanhedrin is when he comes and gives testimony about the king. So that is not a conflict to the Kohen Gadol's honour if he has to come only to give testimony about the king. But then the Gemara asks about Tlan Lodan, Lodan and Oso, but how could it's not possible that the king is in Beis Din anyway, because the Mishnah says that we never judge the king. Lo Meid, Lo Meid and Oso, that you don't give testimony against the king. Ala Omar of Zaira Meid the Ben Melech, we say that actually what happens is that the Kohen Gadol comes and he gives aid for the son of the king. As the Gemara Ben Melech Hedya to the prince is just like an ordinary person, so again that's not honourable for the Kohen Gadol to have to come and give testimony for him. So the Gemara in the end answers Ela Meid Bifnei HaMelech. So he gives in testimony in front of the king. The Gemara asked the king is never has to be in, it can't sit in the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara answers in the end that Mishum Yikri the Kohen Gadol also Yosef Mekabel Neilus at the Sa'adusay kai hu va ozum anile anan bedine. So we're talking about a case where the Kohen Gadol has to give testimony for the son of the king. The king is there, so it's not against the honor of the Kohen Gadol to come. So he gives his testimony when the king sits there, so that, and then afterwards the king goes away, and we discuss the din. We discuss what the case is. But anyway, now the moral just continues a little bit. Gufa ein moshiv melech b'sanhedrin, v'lo melech l'kohen gadol b'rishonos. So we have this rule that we'd never let the king sit in on the Sanhedrin. Melech b'sanhedrin. Why can the king not sit in the Sanhedrin? Rechsev lo ta'ana al riv, lo ta'ana al rav. The pasuk says that you don't answer on the riv, but actually it says the verse says it without a yud. So Chazal learned this to mean you are not allowed to answer against the rav, against the great rabbi. Rashi, and that is the reason that the king cannot be brought to the Sanhedrin, because you would not be allowed to answer to argue with him. Rashi says, what does that mean? Lo sana al rav, eincha rashai listor es divrei muflashe b'dayonim. Rashi says you are not permitted to contradict the words of the outstanding judge on the Sanhedrin. If the king said that such and such a person is guilty, so the other members of the court could not see a merit, could not possibly acquit the condemned person, because we have this halacha that Rashi says that you are not allowed to contradict the words of the outstanding dayan. Now, the problem is that there's a Rashi later on in the Masechta that seems to contradict what Rashi says here. This is now on the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph at the beginning of the fourth perek, and there the Mishnah near the end of the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So it says Dini Momnus Hatumas Vataras Maschilim Min HaGadol. So if you have a monetary question, or if you have a question that is something pure or impure, something Tomei Torah, so we say that we start from, we can start if we want, from the most distinguished member of the Beis Din. But Din Nefoshos Matzchilim Min Hatzad. If this is a question of life and death, that somebody is condemned of murder or of some capital crime, then we must start from one of the junior Dayonim, one of the junior judges. At least we do not start from the top, from the greatest Dayan in the Sanhedrin. Rashi explains why not. Min hatzad, min haktanim. We don't start from the minor ones. Why not? Shema yichayvenu hagadol. Because if the first person to give his verdict would be the leading, the greatest judge on the court, well, maybe he will say that the accused person is actually guilty. Rashi says, and then they won't want the other ones, the more junior Dayanim, they won't want to disagree, to argue with the great leader of the court, Meshum Lo Sana Al Riv. Because again of this verse we have, this halacha we have, not to answer on the Riv, Al Dvaro Shel Godol, not to answer the words, not to dispute the words of the great judge. Rashi says, Rav Ksiv Belo Yud, the Pasuk says, Rashi also means that the Rav, the greatest Dayan, they won't want to. The other more junior Dayanim won't want to disagree with him. So it seems from the second Rashi on Daf Lamed Beis that actually there's no prohibition against them disagreeing with the great, the leading Dayan, but we're just afraid that they won't want to, they'll be embarrassed, and so we won't get the truth of the matter, the Sanhedrin won't be able to get very efficiently to the true psak. Because the younger, the more junior Dayanim won't want to disagree with the old one. This seems to contradict what Rashi said in our sugya, that Rashi said, "Ein charashay listoras divrei mufrish habayonim," that you're not allowed, you're not permitted to argue. It seems to be a prohibition of Issei D'oraisa, according to Rashi on Daf Yud Ches, to argue against the great judge. One could say that possibly the Rashi and Daf Yud Ches is only talking about when it's the king, when it's the king who is the outstanding one. So maybe Rashi only says that because there's an additional factor involved, that we have that the Torah says you have a mitzvah to fear the king. Soim tosim olecha melech, you must put a appoint a king, shetei eimos olecha, that the fear of the king should be on upon you, and therefore maybe that is why Rashi is saying in Daf Yud Ches that you are not allowed to argue with the king when he's on the Sanhedrin. The problem is that it doesn't fit in so well with Rashi, because Rashi says two things. Rashi starts off by saying you mustn't argue with the muflash about the Dayanim, the leading Dayan, so that doesn't have to be the king. So Rashi seems to be saying something that would apply to any based in, not just one with the king on. That Losana al Riv would apply to any based in. Let's just see the Namuku Yosef. This is referring to the Rashi on Daf Lamed Beis, and he explains further this, what Rashi is saying, the second Rashi, that it's not actually a prohibition to argue with the great one, but it's just that we're afraid that they won't want to. The location is on Daf Yud Gimel on the base in the Rif pages. It says the Kosma Mefarshim Zal. The Mefarshim says Lav the Memory de Osulana Sal Rav. This doesn't mean to say that it's prohibited to disagree with the great Dayan. The Adarab Osulo Lishto. On the contrary, says the Mekhi Yosef, it's forbidden to keep quiet. Shahari Bedilin Nefoshes. Because if we're talking about capital cases, Omar Eched Min HaTalmidim Yesh Li L'Lamad Olav Schus Shomino. If one of the junior members, it could even be that it doesn't have to be necessarily somebody on the base. And this is actually a Mishnah on Daf Mem Omad Aleph, that if one of the Talmidim says I have a way of acquitting the accused, so we ma'alin oso ma'ashim oso b'neim, we actually promote this person, we let him sit amongst the great Dayanim, and if he and maybe he has something behind his argument, if he does, then we listen to his argument. So we see that it's actually we help the student who wants to acquit the accused, even if the senior Dionym have said he is guilty. That's one proof that the Nima Kriyosa brings. Second proof he brings, for Talmud Hayoshi Lifnei Rabbi, Veroz Chus Le'oni V'chobel Alshir, Ein Le'lishtok. That's a Gemara on Daf Vav on the base, that if there's a student, again a student, he's sitting in front of his teacher, and he sees that the poor person is right, and that the rich person actually is not, is really seduced, so he must not, Menayin Shelo Yishtok, the Gemara says, how do you know he mustn't keep quiet? One must not be frightened of any person. So again, we see that the junior member, the junior, the Talmud, must not keep quiet. So this is what the Namukius proofs that actually there's no prohibition of arguing with the Muflash of Adayanim. It's just that but Alachok, it says to the Namukius, so Alachok Mikra, this is what the person is saying. So Royal Asus Binishlo Starchulanas Al Rav. You have to arrange, you have to organize the Beis Din in the way that you won't have to argue against the leading members. Kolomishu Dabruhem Tchila, so that the more junior ones have to speak first. Velomech Nekvoda, not because of the honor of the great one. Elashiyesh Lochosh Shemelo Yirtzah Talmud Lachlech Achachachalara. We're apprehensive that the pupil, the student, won't want to, will be afraid to disagree with his with the famous Dayonim, Kiyisbayish Mimenu. He might be embarrassed, Vyachnis Tvorov, and he will keep his words to himself, keep his words in. Umepneich kach choshesul zabedin in the foshes, mitoch chomish behen. So the Nemuch Yetzer says, we're only actually worried about this in capital cases because they're so serious, that we're worried about such a possibility that the younger donor won't want to speak up. Avul b'dinim momenus ein anu koshin kol kach, and just monetary matters, we're not so concerned about that. Fikachim rotsu maschilim godol. Therefore, it might happen that the more junior members of the Beis Din will be apprehensive, but we're not so worried, we're not so concerned that might happen. It's less serious cases if it's only monetary cases. Anyway, so that is the question in Rashi, that Rashi again on Daf Yud in Osugya says that one must not disagree with the Muflash of the Dynamon on the Lamed Beis. He says that they might not want to, but the Nemuka Yosef explains that doesn't mean that they're not allowed to, but it just means that they might be embarrassed. But in fact, according to the Halacha, they are allowed to. So that's the contradiction that we have in Rashi. I want to suggest that Rashi makes a distinction between monetary cases and between capital cases, between dini momus and dini nefoshes. And that means that Rashi, our Rashi in our sugya, is talking about monetary dini momus, and then that's when Rashi says that you're not allowed to argue with the leading one. But on the other hand, when it's din in the foshas, then the Torah gives us a mitzvah. The Torah says v'hitzilo ha'eda, that the congregation, that means the Sanhedrin, they have a mitzvah to save the person, to try and find a way of a schus. If he really is innocent, then we have to try as hard as we can to find some way of getting him off the death penalty. That's v'hitzilo ha'eda. So even though, generally speaking, Rashi holds that the Torah does not want us to make right of the honor of the leading Dayan, that's we're only worried about that in monetary matters. But when it comes to the question of life and death, so even though there certainly is an important consideration of the honor of the Muflash of Adonim, but the mitzvah of saving the possibly innocent accused person is more important than that worry of the covers of the Beis Din. So that explains. So that fits well with the Mishnah on Daf Mem. That's why even a junior Talmid, he who's got some evidence that can acquit the accused. So we put him on the Beis Din with all the great Dayanim. But what is Rashi going to do with the other proof that the Namuka Yosef cited? That the Namuka Yosef wanted to prove from Daf Vav Amud Beis that even in the Momonos, the Talmid is not allowed to keep quiet. The Talmid must argue with his teacher. So how can we now say, now you see this Gemara on Daf Vav is Menayin, this is obviously talking about monetary matters, because it says that he's Menayin the Talmid Sheyoshelifnei Rabbi Veroz Chus La'Oni V'Chevel Oshir, that the poor person is right and the rich person, this seems to be talking about money matters. It makes a difference if he's rich or poor. What is Rashi going to do with this proof that you see from here that he mustn't keep quiet and he must argue if he has good reason to do so? He must argue with his teacher. I think the answer is actually we can see this in Rashi himself on Daf Vav Amud Beis. Rashi says she yoshev lifnei rabbi ubo din lifnei rabbi velo lefonov. Rashi says that the case comes before his teacher and not in front of the pupil. And the pupil he sees that the poor person is right. But Rabbi Toya Bedin, and his teacher, the more senior rabbi, he's making a mistake. The Talmud sees that his rabbi is making a mistake. So how do you know that he mustn't honor his teacher and keep quiet? But why does Rashi have to say that the din, that the case came before in front of his teacher and not in front of him? So the answer is this is a proof for what we're trying to say. This is a proof that in Dine Momonos, if the Talmud is actually on the Beis Din and his voice is actually crucial, and his teacher and the Mufrash Badayonim has already given his psak, then Rashi holds that the smaller Dayan must not argue. That's why Rashi has to say that we're only talking about a case where it doesn't actually directly concern the Talmud. So in other words, what does the Talmud do here? He doesn't have a vote here. All that the Talmud does is that he can discuss the matter. He can point out to his teacher that he's making a mistake. And then his teacher will see that he's actually made a mistake and can change his opinion. But Rashi holds that in Dine Momonos, if the Talmud is not allowed directly to contradict the more senior, the Mufrash Badayonim. So that's the distinction that Rashi makes between Dine Momonos, where the smaller Dayan cannot disagree with the great one, but in Dine Nefoshes he should disagree because of the mitzvah of saving the life of the person who might otherwise be wrongly condemned to the death penalty. So up to now we've looked at Rashi's Shitta. We're now going to see that Tosfos actually seems to say exactly the opposite of what we've been saying in Rashi. This is a Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vov Amud Aleph, and he talks about the, it's discussing the Mishnah. It's the Dibur Matzil Din and the Farshas Matzchilim in the Sad. And the Tosfos in the middle of the Tosfos says that Efsher Lo Sana Al Rav B'Din in the Farshas Ksiv V'Lo B'Din in Momonos. Tosfos says exactly the opposite of what we've been saying up to now. That it could be that this whole prohibition of arguing against the great Dayan only applies in cases of life and death and not in monetary matters. In the Kehillas Yaakov, he asked the very important question, what is the logic of this, what Tosfos is saying? It should be the opposite, and the way we've explained in Rashi Shitta, that there's a mitzvah to save the condemned person from death if you can. If it's much worse to have to make a wrong judgment in a question of life and death. So why does Tosfos say that it's dafka in Dinin Nefashos that one must not argue with the Muflashe B'Dayonim, and in Dinim Mumnus one may? We have an answer. The Chazon Ish, it's in Sanhedrin Simon Yud Zayin Sif Kotan Aleph. He gives an answer in the middle of what he said. We can see a way of understanding Tosfos, and he says a few words here. V'dafka, the Chazon Ish says, V'dafka v'din in nefoshes she'ha'inyan choma ma'od. It's only in din in nefoshes that you mustn't. Well, he says a bit. In fact, well, let's just go a bit before this. Alavade kol echad amadai. So he says, that's for certain that everyone has to say his opinion. Afila negadas agodol, even if it's against the opinion of the leading dayan. Elish einzep gamba kvoda kol kach. It's not such an insult to the honor of the great leader. The dafka b'din in the foshes inyan chomer ma'od. It's only in the questions of life and death, which is a very, very serious matter. So, and when the great Dayan gives his opinion, he only does so, he only gives this verdict of the death penalty, if he's really looked into the matter in a very, very thorough and very deep way. And if the other Dayonim contradicts the great leader, this is an insult to the honor of the Godel. Avol b'dinin momnus ein lochosh im sozrin oso. With monetary matters, we don't have to be so concerned if you contradict the leader, because again, it's the level of the eon of how much one the diner has to look into it is automatically slightly less in monetary matters, but in questions of life and death, it's a tremendous responsibility. So when the leading diner has spent so much effort in coming to his decision, it's an insult to his honor if the smaller ones contradict what he says. Now, the Chazon Ish, there's something not so easy to understand in what he says. Why should we be worried about the honor of the leading Dayan? We have in our sugya, Tosfos says something similar to this. It's Tosfos Divrei and Daf Yud Ches on base. Divrei Maskil Meid. Tosfos says an important rule: the b'midid is sura ein chochma ein tfula neneged Hashem. When we're talking about questions of something is forbidden, so you, there's no wisdom, there's no understanding. The only important thing is that one shouldn't transgress the Torah. You do not have to give an honor to the Talmid Chacham in such a case. There's a Gemara in Brachos, which Tosfos doesn't actually bring this, but the Gemara says the same, uses the same Loshen over there, that if somebody sees that his Rebbe is in the middle of the main street and he's wearing shatnas, so he has to tear the shatnas clothing off his Rebbe. Aren't we worried about the honor of the Chacham? The Gemara says over there, no. Ein Chacham of Ein Tzvul and Neged Hashem. The most important thing is Hashem. And if whoever is, let's say, inadvertently transgressing, so the most important thing is that the mitzvahs of Hashem should be kept. So let's back to what we saw in the Chazon Ish. Why does the Chazon Ish say that we were so worried about the honor of the leading Dayan? We should be more worried. We should be more worried about this poor person who might be wrongly being put to death, which is certainly a very big chilul Hashem. If in fact an innocent person is condemned to the capital punishment, this is a very big. It's not. It's very the very opposite of Kovod Hashem, because it's exactly what the Torah does not want. So why did the Chazon Ish say that it's an insult to the honor? What I want to suggest is that the Chazon Ish doesn't actually mean the personal honor of the Dayan. What he really means is that if the we have the structure, we have the institute of the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin has the Godel Ador, the greatest Dayan on the Sanhedrin. So what this really means is that if the Muflis of Adonim, if he would say, he gives his psak, and then afterwards a more junior Dayan comes along and says something against it, this is not in the honour of the Sanhedrin, not the personal honour, but the national honor of Klal Yisrael, because what the Chazon Ish is stressing is that the great, the Godel Hador, he does not give his verdict unless he has gone into the whole question extremely deeply. And if a lesser Dayan is allowed to contradict that is questioning the power of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin doesn't have the power to appoint the leader who it's possible to contradict the leader, even though probably in most cases the lesser Dayan probably didn't realize the depth of what the Godel Ador is saying. So that's what the Chazon Ish is saying. Now let's we'll try and illustrate that, this idea, a bit more from the words of Chazal. There's a very nice medrash. It's actually based on the starts really from the Gemara later on. It's the Mishnah actually, and the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah there describes how the Sanhedrin was set up, and it says V'sholosh Shuros Shel Tamid Chachomim Yesh Nifneihem. You have the Dayanim, and then you have the three rows of Tamid Chachomim who sit in front of them. There's a whole hierarchy of the Sanhedrin. The Medrash is in Parshas Vayetze, and it's going on the Posuk. V'hinei be'er basodeh. It's talking about actually when Yaakov came to meet Rachel, but he found a well in the field. But the Medrash Darshan says, what does this mean? V'hinei be'er basodeh zu Sanhedrin. The well of water, the water of Torah, in the field, in the it's giving the Sanhedrin gives water, gives nourishment and life to the world by judging all the hard, difficult cases. V'hine sham shloisha edrei tzon. There were three flocks of sheep that Yaakov encountered there. What does this hint at? Eilu shlosh shura shel tamid chachomim shem yoshvim lefneim. The three rows of tamid chachomim that they sit in front of the more senior dayanim. And then the midrash says v'haven gedola al pi haba'er. There's a big stone on the top of the well. Zat mufla sheba based in. This is the leading, the great. The muffler, there is something wonderful, something special. The special Dayan, Shehu Masaris Es Ha'alocha. He Masaris. What does it mean, Masaris? So, there's a few, the Mepharshim, they say, the Yedei Moshe says, what does it mean, Masaris? He switches around, he changes around. So he says, Huma Falpul Venos Venos Medin. He makes a pilpul, he discusses, he goes through the whole case. He puts all the different viewpoints, all the different sides of the argument. So what this means is, after the leading Dayan, he hears all the different viewpoints given by the other Dayanim, he can discuss this, he can, with his very deep understanding, he can use all this, all the arguments, all the information, all the evidence produced by his colleagues, he can use this to come to to the right decision, and he can sometimes actually turn round. He can sometimes turn round the decision because he can see here more deeply what the truth of the matter is. We do have actually this idea of the Masaris. We have this in a Tosfos in the first parak of Sanhedrin, on Daf Yudam Beis, at the bottom of Daf Yudam Beis, and Tosfos learns out from a posuk there. It brings down a posuk in Novi. Umin ha'ir lokach soris echot. What does it mean? What's a soris? As Tosfos says, v'lam makara is a soris. Why is it called a soris? She yoshiv umasaris b'halachot. Says Tosfos, he sits there, and he changes around the halacha because he can see it more clearly than the others. So this is the mufla sheba dayanim. This is a special, and there's another Tosfos Mepharshim site. This is on also in the first perek on Daf Gimel on the base. There's an opinion there that Rabbi Yehuda says there's only actually 70. There's only 70 Dayanim on the Sanhedrin Gedolah, not 71 like the Chachamim say. But Tosfos asks a contradiction, that Rabbi Yehuda, he says that that in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim in Egypt there were 71 chairs for the its correspondence to the 71 Zkenim on the Sanhedrin. How come Rabbi Yehuda says that there's only 70? He himself over there said that there's 71 chairs. So Tosfos answers that the reason is because Moshe al Gabayo, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Godel Hador, he was the special one, he was a Mufla Shibadayonim, and he was above them. So there were only actually 70 Dayonim, but there was somebody above them, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Hayasham Mufla Shibasin, Shiloh Hayim and Echeshman, he wasn't counted amongst the 70. So again, we see this idea in the Tosfos that there's something special about the Mufla Shibayim, the greatest one. So this again is what the Chazon Ish says, that after the greatest one had looked into so thoroughly, it would be against his honor to contradict him. And now we can add something, add on something to that svara, that it's not the best way to get to the truth of the matter. The best way is that the lesser Dayanim speak first, and then the Mufrashib of Dayanim, he can weigh up all the evidence, and he has a special Siyata Dishmaya to get to the truth of the matter. And we have this also in our times too, that the God of the door has a special help, that he has a special help from Shemaim. There was once a story with a Chasim Sofer. He was once sent a very difficult question with a Gunna, with an abandoned wife. Can she get married? Can we decide that the husband is that? And he was sent, the question was actually sent to him by Rabbi Mordechai Bennett, who was also a very great Chacham, who wasn't really all so much lesser than the Chasim Sofer. So I think the Rav Mordechai Bennett said that there's, why did he have to send it to the Chasim Sofer? He could really answer this question. He could answer such a question himself. So Rav Mordechai Bennett said there's always one person in the world. There's always one person in any generation who has special help, Siyatid Shmaya, to get to the psak. So this is the same idea that we have here with the Mufla Shibadayunim. He's the one, he can change around the halacha, which see things which other people don't see, and that's the right, that's the best way to get to the truth of the matter, for him to give his verdict at the end after he's heard everyone else's opinion. And so that's what the Pshat was saying in Tosfos. That's why exactly the opposite of the way we wanted to learn in Rashi, that Tosfos holds that in Dine Momonos you're allowed to argue with the greatest one, but in Dine Nefoshos no. In Dine Nefoshos the best way, the right way that the Torah wants is that first of all everyone else on the base then says their opinion, and at the end the Muflish Badayonim, he can come to the correct decision. Maybe I'll say a few words some interesting hashkofas that we see from the Sugis and our Gemara, that we see really what the Torah idea of what a Torah leader should be, what is expected from him. The Gemara on Daf Yud Tes says that when the Mishnah says that that you can't judge the king, that actually only applies to Malchei Yisrael, the kings of Israel. But the kings of the house of David, the Melech, they can be judged. You can judge them and they can be judged. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos explains what the whole point is here. That it says why it's only the Malchei Yisrael that we don't put in the Beis Din. So the Rambam says that they really did not have the correct respect. They didn't realize that what is expected from a Jewish king is to appreciate the fact that the Torah is much more important than his own personal honor. And they weren't lo hayu nichnoim adibrei Torah, the kings of Israel. They weren't subjugated to the words of the Torah. But the kings of from the seed of David HaMelech, they knew the Torah, and they weren't embarrassed at lowering themselves to the decisions of the Torah. And therefore, the Rambam says that David HaMelech, he was one of the Sanhedrin. He's one of the Sanhedrin Torah. David HaMelech was not only a king, he was also a judge. And we had this idea a bit later in the Gemara on Daf Kof on the base. And the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Elazar Omer, Zakenim Shibadar Kehogan Shalom. The elders, when they asked for a king in the time of Shmuel, they asked in the correct way. Shenem Atzno Alonu Melech L'Shofteinu. They asked for a king that should judge us. Avel Ami Oretz, but the ignorant people, Shibahen Kilkulu, they behaved in the wrong way. Shenem V'Hayinu Gam Anachnu K'Kol Agoyim. We should be like all the nations. For Shofteinu Malkeinu, and our king will judge us. For Yetzel Afoneinu, and he will go out in front of us. Rashi explains this, that the elders, they asked for a king who would judge the people, judge the nation, and would punish the criminals. The Ami Ha'oretz, but the ignorant people, Tolo Olav Milchem Hashem. Why did they want a king? Because he would fight the wars. He would go and conquer. He would go and he would fight the wars for the people. So here we see in the Gemara and in Rashi that the Torah idea of a king is somebody who is who will judge the people and make sure that justice prevails. That's really what the Torah wants, and that's why. David HaMelech, who realized this, and he also passed this on in like a hereditary, his descendants, they inherited this good outlook from David HaMelech, that the real idea of the real reason why the Torah wants a king is to make just to ensure that justice prevails in the Jewish people. We'll just finish off with and possibly an interesting observation which I saw in the Chiddush HaRan in the Sugya. Tosfos on Yud Ches on Beis says that the Mishnah is presumably talking about Malchei Yisrael, the kings of Israel. The Ran in Chiddush HaRan there explains it a little bit more, that in the beginning of the point is that the Mishnah was written in the time of the, at least in the time of the second base of Midrash, the second base of Midrash. The says the Ran, Shabbat Sheni lo hoylehem malchei beis David. They didn't have. They didn't have the kings of Beis David in the second second Beis Midrash. And the Ran says that the mission is not talking about the kings of David and Melech. She eish shelihius non malchei Beis David ad bo mashiachinu until the Mashiach comes. So it's not possible for us to have the kings from the house of David. This fits in with another interesting perush that the Ran says, and this is in Droshes HaRan, it's also by the Ran. There's a posuk in Parshas Vayechi, Lo Yosor Shevet MiYehuda, that the Shevet, the kingship, the ruler, the ruling line, must never move away from the tribe of Yehuda. The Ramban there says that that actually the kings that ruled over Israel, that they were not from the tribe of Yehuda. Actually, they were going against the command of Yaakov Avinu. And the Ramban says now the Chashmonaim, in the miracle of Hanukkah, they of course were Kohanim, and they became the kings. The Ramban points out that even though they were very great Hasidim, and if not for the Chashmonaim, the whole Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Israel. Even so, they received a great punishment. And in fact, they all of the Chashmonai kings, they were killed in warfare. The Ramban says the reason is because it was a punishment for the fact that they went against the commandment of Yaakov Avinu, that the king must only be from the tribe of Yehuda. The Ran actually disagrees with this Ramban, and for a different reason, because the Ramban says that the kings that were in the second Beis HaMikdash, in the second period of the second temple, were not really kings. They didn't have this power. They didn't really have a din of a king. It says, they weren't really independent kings. They were like officers. They were appointed by the Persian emperors or the Roman emperors or different or other kings. But in the time already of the second Beis HaMikdash, the power of the king was much less, and the Ran's opinion is that they didn't really have the din of a king. So again, this maybe fits in with what the Ran is saying in our sugya, that in the time of the Mishnah was written in time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and afterwards possibly, this cannot be talking about the kings from Beis David, because that is something as the Ran concludes. It is impossible for us to have the kings of Beis David right only when the Mashiach comes, because until then it's only then that we'll have the Melech HaMashiach, that we'll have the special kingship, again he will be from the descended from David the Melech, from the Zerah Beis David, B'mehei Riyomeinu.